Who better to talk to about this stuff than my next guest? He's a liberal political commentator with more than 8.2 million combined followers on his social media and over 105 million likes on TikTok alone. His daily political and social live streams on YouTube and TikTok have made him the Gen Z face of politics. Please welcome back to the show the one and only Dean Withers. How are you, Dean? How's everything, man?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me back, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. Trump says that the photo of him depicting himself as Jesus, that's fake news. That's not true. He was a doctor. Your response to that, first and foremost, your response to that, sir?
I didn't know that doctors healed people with magical light powers that come out of their hands as angels watch over from the sky while they're also dressed in white and red robes. Listen, either he's stupid or he thinks that we are stupid. This is the most common modern depiction of Jesus Christ. For everybody who grew up in a Christian family and would attend church on the regular, or maybe even had a family that would have depictions of Jesus in the home, that is the most common Jesus Christ look, quote unquote. So it's honestly insane that, you know, either he's lying to us and covering up what he thought would be something his base would like, the depiction of him as God, but that quickly backfired, or he truly cannot decipher the difference between a modern day medical doctor and the modern day depiction of Jesus Christ.
Why do you think he did that?
Well, I mean, I think trying to explain the actions of the insane is very difficult to do. And quite frankly, often you can't. And I think that, you know, by even asking that question, to a certain extent, we're sane washing what in all reality is just complete incoherent garbage. You know, like for instance, even you're a business owner. I bet at, you know, some point you've conducted a job interview. Now, my question to you would be is if you were interviewing somebody that maybe had a decent resume, and inside of the interview, they praised Allah, threatened to genocide 90 million people, attacked the Pope, and then depicted themselves as God. Is that somebody that you'd walk away with arguing that they'd be a good fit for the position, very sane, rational person? Or is that somebody that you'd probably shut the door on and label off as crazy?
No question about it. I totally agree with you there. But then my question to you would be, how do you anticipate the GOP, folks on the right, are going to react to all of this? Usually they try to explain away anything, but I don't know how they're going to try to pull that off when millions upon millions of Catholics in this country no doubt must have been offended by what he did, because evidenced by him removing the post earlier today.
That's a good question. So I think we'll see a couple Republicans in Congress that hop on board with Trump's explanation. They will say that this is an innocent depiction of what looks to be a doctor. And then when the reporters ask them the very common sense question of, well, that doesn't make any sense, he had magical light glowing from his hands, they'll just kind of avoid those questions and move on with their day. But I think for the most part, I think that the representatives we have in Congress are at least smart enough to know that that explanation is not going to fly, and that this is a mess of a very large scale, considering the fact that 70% of Americans are Christian. And they'll just kind of leave it alone. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They'll try to not comment about it on the internet and just hope that it kind of fades into distant memory as we start to talk more about the Epstein files due to Melania's speech from the White House, or maybe updates with the war in Iran.
Are you of the mindset that he's just got another screw loose and he's completely lost it, or that he's using this as distractionary measures to get our attention away, whether it be the Epstein files, of the war in Iraq that's supposed to have never been because he was supposed to have obliterated them last June and that didn't happen? What do you think the motive is behind what he's doing? I know that's a tough question to ask because you don't think he's got all the screws connected, but I'm asking anyway.
Yeah, you know, I ask myself that same question on a daily basis. I think it's just incoherent. Incoherent senility. That's probably not a good word. Let me go ahead and replace that with another one. I think that it's incoherent garbage. I don't think that this is being driven by any deeper level of thought of distraction away from issues that are damning his administration. And my argument for that would be is that during his first term, you know, we never saw this when he was a little bit younger and maybe a little bit more coherent, with a little bit more spectacular insofar as using his brain to think critically. I mean, I still wasn't a fan of him, but, you know, we definitely didn't see him depicting himself as Jesus Christ, threatening genocide of 90 million people, so on and so forth. So frankly, man, I just think he's getting old. I think that there are leading medical health professionals that are arguing that there is an increasing plausibility of dementia. And yeah. Now we see representatives such as Jamie Raskin formally requesting the private doctor of Donald Trump to give him a cognitive exam and then to bring the results back to Congress. And I think that there's something to that. I think he's losing his mind. And on top of that, well, if he wants to distract away from an issue, that's because he thinks that that issue is reducing his approval rating because he's not winning. But so will depicting himself as Jesus Christ. That's also going to tank his approval rating. And quite frankly, I'd argue for a lot of the GOP, the depiction of himself as Jesus Christ, textbook blasphemy, is probably worse in their eyes than slight stagnation in this war that they already support.
I'm of the mindset that I've listened to people call for the 25th Amendment to be invoked when it comes to him, that that's an exercise in futility. I've gotten on the Democratic Party for doing that because I'm like, I'm tired of wasted energy, Dean. And what I mean by that is let's focus on something that you can actually get done. Because the reality is that after going through what you went through, you know, in terms of the felony convictions and everything like that, the man still returned to office. And in order to get the 25th Amendment invoked, the vice president has to sign off. Half of the GOP's got to sign off, et cetera, two-thirds of Congress, all of this other stuff. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. Let's not waste the energy on that. Do you agree with that? Or are you in opposition to that mode of thinking and think that the 25th Amendment should be invoked where he's concerned?
Well, I mean, of course, I think the 25th Amendment should be invoked, but ultimately, I agree with you in the sense that it's not going to happen. And for that reason, I do think it is important for the Democratic Party to keep their priorities straight. We have a much better shot at impeachment through Congress if we could win the House and maybe even win the Senate come midterms. And I think that's what I'd really like to see done. I do not believe that J.D. Vance would ever stray away from the narrative set forth by Trump. Because quite frankly, I think that J.D. Vance is a lapdog. He's a follower. He's willing to do what will ever get him the most power. And right now, that's be a servant to Trump. I mean, just look at him before Trump was president, saying that Trump is literally America's Hitler, to now saying that Trump is literally the best president of history. So hopefully what we'll be able to do is impeach him through Congress after the Democrats win midterms with blue wave across the country. And then instead of J.D. Vance being a follower and a lapdog of Trump, hopefully he'll be a follower and a lapdog to the more reasonable demands of Congress, which is a slightly better reality than the one that we live in today.
How are you feeling about your Democratic Party at this particular moment in time? I mean, whether it's Trump's transgressions, flagrant transgressions, or lack thereof, how are you feeling about the Democratic Party right now, particularly in the aftermath of what's going on with Eric Swalwell, representative out of California?
Well, I'm happy to see the Democrat Party have a little bit of a backbone there. I think that we saw Democrats across the country come out swinging against Eric, saying drop out of the race and drop out of Congress, which I love to see. I mean, I'm happy that the Democratic Party is not like the Republican Party. You know, they let somebody not just get accused of rape credibly, but then they let him get held civilly liable for it in a court of law, and then they still made him president. You know, at least we as Democrats have a little bit of a higher standard. If you have five credible accusations, you shouldn't be anywhere near a public office because the social and moral fabric of this nation alongside its women and girls matters. But just my general thoughts on the Democratic parties, I think that we're heading in a good direction. I mean, not only are the candidates getting a little bit more concerned with affordability for the average American, falling in line with the issues that matter the most, like maybe we shouldn't be giving billions of dollars to Israel or fighting a war in Iran. But, you know, we also see an increasing level of support across the nation for Democratic politicians winning big and special elections and really setting up for, quite the home run in midterms. Maybe one thing I'd say here is I just want the Democrats to be a little bit more demanding with a clear path of action to hold the Trump administration accountable. I don't think that it's the job of one man like Rep. Ricana that's been screaming across social media on different TV stations now in Jubilee for an hour and a half debate about why it's so important important to hold Trump accountable, why it's so important to get the Epstein files released, why it's so important to try to impeach him for threatening genocide. I want to see more outspoken leaders that aren't just writing strongly worded tweets, but actually laying out a course of action to get something done. And there's not enough of them doing that.
Well, what should that course of action be? Because for me personally, I think the mistake is focusing too much on Trump. And here's what I mean by that, Dean. He can't do a damn thing without their support. He can talk about what he wants to talk about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that in a literal sense. I know he's got the power of the pen, executive orders. We know what trouble he's utilized that mechanism to invoke and all of that. I got that part. But what I'm saying is that if you've got members in both the House and the Senate on the GOP side who stand up, show a spine, and say, listen, this is wrong. We're not vibing with this. We're not going to do this. There's little that he can do to further damage this country. So my mentality is that I think it's a mistake to be so focused on every little thing that he does. I'm not talking about this latest one, because obviously you're Catholic, you're Christian, you should be offended by what he's done. I know I am. But I'm saying that overall, the distractionary measures he tries to implement and invoke, the things that he tries to do to get our eyes off the ball, you know, campaigning on the Epstein files and then going away from that, campaigning on no new wars and then engaging in yet another one, doing the kind of things that he's been doing, I think that if others within that party, that side of the aisle, stand up to him, that's the mode of attack that Democrats should be exercising, rather than focus on spewing, you know, derogatory rhetoric towards in his direction. What do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that is, how did that go with the release of the Epstein files? Because that's exactly what the Democrats tried to do for months, to get as many members of the GOP on board with the discharge petition to force a vote for the release of release of the Epstein files. And after months of effort and labor and work invested into trying to get the GOP to divert away from Trump, we got what, four of them? Thomas Massie, Nancy yeah. Mace, Lauren Boebert, and MTG. And then, I mean, seemingly they all got burned. MTG was got kicked out of politics as a whole. Thomas Massie gets a paragraph written about how terrible he is about once a month. Nancy Mace, I don't know about her, but Lauren Boebert, she got her clean water bill killed in Colorado. So, I mean, if it was already so unsuccessful the first time around when it was about victims of rape and survivors of pedophilia, and then the four GOP members that we were able to convince got burned, I don't think it'd be too successful a second time around now that they know the consequences. But clearly, you are right in the sense that if that is something we could do, it would be the best course of action. So there's no harm in trying to continue to achieve that goal. But ultimately, because it hasn't worked before, we need to be realistic and we need to recognize that we live in a duopoly, a two-party system, where one of the two parties is serving to every call and demand of Trump and the other one is at least saying they want to stop him. So let's vote for the party that says they want to stop him, and let's uplift candidates who swear an oath to the common decency, the Constitution, and paths of actions to prevent him from continuing on this path of madness, which would ultimately be voting for smart Democrats in the midterms.
Two more questions before I let you get on out of here. Number one, what do you think is going to happen to Trump now, considering the fact that he offended millions in the Christian and the Catholic community specifically for what he just did with this now AI deleted photo?
I think he's going to lose a lot of support. And I rarely say that, because this is the man who is able to win an election after J6. After the civil court that concluded he raped E. Jean Carroll, after the 34 felonies. But I'm saying that now, and that's because of what I do when I go live every day. I talk to people who support Trump, and I try to change their minds. Last night, after that photo was posted on Truth Social, I think we had three or four Trump supporters back-to-back who joined the live, told me they supported Trump. I showed them the picture. I explained why it's so blasphemous to their faith, because every single one of them was Christian. And then they left saying, I can't support this. And I think that's a trend we see across the nation. And ultimately, this is just going to be another blow against his approval rating, a loss for Trump, but a win for humanity.
Last question for you. If there was one thing you would advise the Democratic Party not to do as the midterms rapidly approach this year, considering the momentum that has been built over the last few months, particularly because of Trump's transgressions and his idiocy on too many occasions, what would it be?
Yeah, I would advise the Democratic Party not to do what got us into the situation in the first place, which is inaction, just strongly worded letters, maybe a mean tweet. But outside of that, they just stay cozied up in their multi-million dollar townhouse in DC, and they don't really give a fuck. Sorry for cursing. I think that we need to follow the trend set out by the more predominant, more progressive Democrats of the party today, which is talk to the people, demand change, lay out a path for change, support articles of impeachment in Congress, support meaningful boots on the ground movements to sway the minds of the electorate, and to really do something. You know, that's it, in one sentence or less, I advise the Democrats to not actually do something with the momentum that has been presented to them on a silver plate to actually get something done.
Listen, I know that's how it's going to be my last question, but you just said something that sparked another question. You said support articles of impeachment. Haven't we tried that already? I mean, the man has been impeached twice. He still ended up back in office. Like, why waste energy on that when you know it's not going to lead to him leaving office before 2028? Why, Dean? Why even bother?
Well, I think we could learn a lot from why they failed the first two times around. You know, like, for example, the second time around, the articles of impeachment failed in the Senate because they didn't know that they could impeach a president who was no longer in office. And frankly, the reason why I'm still drilling in on this so hard, saying support articles of impeachment, is because I think that we should support all possible means to get something done to get him out of office. But ultimately, in order for the articles of impeachment to succeed, okay, we're going to need the Senate, all right? Because that's why it's failed in the last two times, is because we didn't get the Senate, which I guess would be underpinned of an assumption that the Democrats would be able to win the Senate in midterms, which then, of course, is also underpinned by people getting out there and voting. So I think you actually have a good point here, Stephen. I'd actually change that statement from supporting articles of impeachment to rather getting out there and voting in the midterms. Because if we do get out there and we vote in the midterms, if we do win both chambers of Congress, then it's no longer a figment of history that we know will fail again. So good point.
That's what I've been talking about. Dean Withers, thank you. Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear from somebody on the left. That's what I wanted to hear. It's like, though, can we actually do stuff that's going to have an impact instead of whistling into the wind about stuff that's not going to get him out of office? I mean, yo, you get the Democrats back into the House, control of the House or the Senate or both, then guess what? You've muted him significantly. That's really what we're after, is it not? That's all I've been saying.
Amen. I'm on board with you. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks a lot, my man. I appreciate the time. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care.
One only Dean Withers said it better. I can't say it better myself. I don't need to say anything after that. I don't need a closing remark. He just gave it to you. He's Dean Withers. Check him out. You see him all over TikTok, all over social media. The brother's potent, to say the least. Bright, bright young dude. Really brilliant, to be quite honest with you. Really love having him on the show. Thanks to Dean Withers for being on the show. That's it for this special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. Remember, I'm on Wednesday night, Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Check me out with my political show right there on POTUS Radio. Until then, peace and love, everybody. Stephen A. signing off.